The K-Jazz Show, Sundays on Kofifi FM 97.2.
Nesh Nunglishi is a Johannesburg-based composer, vocalist, and songwriter born and raised in Mdantsane and Ndabozugo in the Eastern Cape. Her music is commentary on history, power, including the South African political landscape, amongst other themes. She's influenced by music from her childhood and current interest, including isiXhosa folk music, church hymns, pop, R&B, and of course, jazz music. Her debut project, Apho Kungenje, features songs like Zizo Zizo, Ndinethemba Uzobuya, and Ebhedini. And this body of work is an eclectic mix of songs inspired by all her musical influences and subjects that are close to her heart. Kofifi FM, she joins us this Sunday, you know, as we introduce her and this project to you. Nesh Nunglishi. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ngwako. Thank you so much for having me. I feel very honored to be on this beautiful show.
The pleasure is all ours. And of course, thank you so much for joining us. And, you know, I want to start here. You know, for the past decades, two decades, in fact, you have been a songwriter and a performer playing to different audiences around Johannesburg, you know, the Joburg music scene, as it were, since the year 2020. But I want to formally introduce you, you know, to your listeners. Who is Nesh? And when, maybe, did you fall in love with music?
Yeah, like you said, I come from the Eastern Cape, and that location was very important in terms of me just picking up sounds around me. In the lyric book, which I'll talk about a little bit later, I speak about my first desire to create music being from when I was a child, listening to the sound that hand washing makes. I don't know if you've ever hand washed anything, but there's a sound. And
I remember
as a 5-6 year old, making that sound with my mouth because my hands couldn't make the sound. And for me, that's the first instance, the first memory of me creating music, not necessarily writing a song, but wanting to reproduce the sound and being surrounded by the folk music that comes from my people, being surrounded by hymns from my church, which has a very significant history in South Africa. Also school. So all of those things come into my creativity. Mm. Obviously, like most people, joined the choir. I did a bit of that. And eventually, when I was at university in Makanda, I did a lot of the open mic scene, really impacted by what I was studying, what I was learning in the classes. It was so overwhelming for me, especially in my politics class and in my journalism and media studies. There was so much history I was learning about this country. And the only way I realize now for me to process all of this as a young 20-something was through writing music. So that's sort of been my trajectory in this music space.
Very interesting that you mentioned that, because I think that was my next thing, you know. And maybe let's explore it a little bit deeper. Your music carries themes around these politics, the social ills, the personal satisfaction conversation, friendships, and many other human interest narratives. Let's speak further into, you know, why you felt the need to address these, you know, as a musician.
Yeah, I think address is probably not the right word in terms of my process. For me, it often happens because I am overwhelmed by whatever is happening politically and tend to suppress or repress the emotions connected to it. And the music really becomes the first way that those feelings come to the surface. So I'll make an example of one of the songs that I've written called Zizo Zizo, which I wrote when I visited the Mapungubwe Hills for the very first time as part of work. And while I was there, just really moved by everything I was hearing about the civilization. It was of course, I'd known about Mapungubwe, but I'd never really been there and just really absorbed the history. And on the one hand, there was a sense of restoration from being in the space. And on the other hand, anger about the fact that there was a deliberate effort for us not to know about the people of Mapungubwe. And so I wrote that song. I didn't even realize that I had been that impacted. 2 weeks later, I started singing the chorus and I realized that actually that was something that had really, really moved me. So often it is because I need to address an issue first with myself and allow the emotion to take over me. And the music is the best way that I'm able to do that.
Over hundreds of years to a time we were trading before we were trading. Abefane Lubunzela Abe Bonu Bunzu. Zizo, Zizo. Its glow, but there's no way to return to a time before we were sold. And whatever quarrels we had, could have never prepared us for this world that's so dependent on us. We try, Shem, to hold on to the greatness that we know. We try, Shem, yes, we try, Shem, and we try, Shem, to hold on to the greatness.
You know, the project itself, it carries essays in the form of poetry and a lyric book where you discuss these themes now, you know. And I want to tap into the importance of, you know, the release, or maybe why, you know, you felt the need to release a project this way with a lyric book, including, you know, the essays, you know, and what you want the listener to then maybe take away from listening to this project, from this offering.
So, I mean, I was a teenager in the 90s. The experience of listening to music has always been, or at least was, very much connected to reading the CD cover. There are pictures right now you can show me, and I will tell you exactly which album that comes from, because that's how often, and often these were very worn out because I had all of four CDs because that was all I could afford. And so I spent a lot of time with these sleeves and looking at the acknowledgements, looking at who wrote what, looking at, like I say, the pictures, the lyrics as well. And so when I was thinking about my project, I just couldn't imagine not having a tangible thing to touch and to feel associated with it. I think the digital era has been brilliant in many ways, but also in terms of archiving. And I knew I had to have acknowledgments. I mean, people always start, "I'd like to thank God." I was like, "I'm gonna have to thank God." Like I had, so that's where it really came from. On the other hand, I'm also I love writing long form essays. It's something I'm very passionate about. And so the idea initially was to write an essay for every single song. That felt like a lot of work eventually, and also that maybe I might bore people. So I just selected. So now there are just two. They're just two essays. The one around the song Ebedini, and the other around Ndine Themba Uzobuya. There's a bit of poetry, there's photographs, because I collaborated with photographers in the city that I absolutely love, and they came to the recording. And that stuff is, I mean, we'll upload on social media, right? But it's lost in a way, because you then quickly scroll to the next thing. But I wanted something people could feel and touch.
Yeah, man, of course. Kofivi FM, we're spending time. This is Our Africa with Nes Nomishi. And for the past 2 weeks, you and I have been listening closer to her composition, Ndine Themba Uzobuya, which carries the message of hope, particularly, to the homes or families that are plagued by the social ills in society today. Nesh, let's reflect on this composition now. Eat deep, Mandingo Maman. And I think there's a whole reasoning behind that. Tell us about it.
There is obviously in our country a deep crisis around drug abuse. I think generally, because of our history of slavery and colonialism, we are prone to addiction as a people generally. In the 30s, 40s, 50s, it was mostly alcohol, and now we have this new problem in the last 15, 20 years of drugs, and it has devastated Black communities. And this issue cuts across class. And I'm one of the people who've been affected by it. And I think for the longest time, I was avoiding. I felt a lot of shame around it. And one day I was listening to a song, and the words just poured out of me because I think it was time for me to address my own sadness, grief, mourning. There's a in the lyric book, there's a quote from my sister who says, "We are not taught how to mourn for people who are struggling with drugs." And I think I also didn't know for as long as I was impacted, and still am. And often as women especially, who carry the labor of care in our communities, where at parties now, it's not uncommon for at least three people to say, "Oh my gosh, you won't believe what my cousin, what my brother who has been struggling with drugs was doing." And this country is infamous for negligence of particularly Black health issues, and so there aren't enough institutions. I mean, I don't even know the research enough. I was approaching this from an emotional perspective. It was not a song that I thought I would write. In fact, I had already finished the album, and 2 weeks later, I reached out to the producer Bogani, and I was like, "Yo, I just wrote something, and I don't think I wanted to wait until the next project because I do have songs in the bank. I feel like this is a song that I want to come out now." And so I had to put the monies together because I'm an independent artist and bring everyone back into studio, having already finished the project. But I was convinced that the time for the song was right now. Yeah, in the same way that the time for the song was decades ago, because as I say, there's a historical reasoning behind us being prone to drugs. And it, of course, the unemployment contributes to it as well, but the our history of dispossession has a lot to do with that.
Thank you so much for raising that. And I think it's important that we always keep referring back to these conversations, going back and saying, but we haven't dealt with the actual issue. But anyway, yeah, we're talking about jazz this Sunday here on the K-Jazz Show. And of course, we're also tapping into some of the narratives that Nesh is addressing on her project. And you spoke of, you know, the people that you've worked with and some of the best in the business, by the way, Lindi Ngonelo, Kali Ngoveni, and producer Bokani Dye amongst some of them. You know, let's talk about their contributions and maybe even expand to why you thought they were the best feature, you know, for the project.
Yeah, I'll start with Bokani, who was my co-producer on this project. I approached him, one, firstly, because I had been listening to his music and I thought he was brilliant. I remember the very first time I ever saw him was he did a duet with Kyle Shepherd at the Cape Town Jazz Festival. So two pianos on stage and it was mind-blowing and I'd never seen him before. Mm. And I mean, I've been watching people on the scene, so many shows of his. And at some point, I, through a mutual friend, kept bumping into Spa. Of course, her album was also produced by him. And I was just asking her for recommendations of people that she trusted. And she said, definitely Bokani. And so eventually I approached him and the energy felt really good between us. And I felt like I could trust him. And so proceeded. Linda Tshabalala, I didn't know her for a very long time until I came across an article written by arts journalist Percy Mabandu. And he was speaking about this alto saxophone player called Linda Tshabalala. And I was like, who is this? And went and listened to her music. And I didn't know how, I didn't know what we would do together, but I was just like, she needs to come on for sure. Lebo Pangwa, who was the music director, similar story. So a woman. And because of, you know, the lack of representation, I was like, I do want instrumentalists on my because I'm a vocalist. I do want women who are instrumentalists, and so reached out to her. Gali, I've seen playing with almost everybody. He's so sought after, always very busy. And for 3 years, I kept saying, Gali, I need to work with you, Gali. And he's just the sweetest person. He was like, it's fine. We'll do it. Sipiwe Shiburi, same thing. I asked Spa for a drama. She was like, hey, get Sipiwe. And I didn't even know his name. But then I realized that I had been seeing him in the Joburg scene. So I was really fortunate. My sister is the backing vocalist with me. I was just really, really fortunate to get all of these musicians joining me who, as you say, are some of the best in the city. I get one person, Lungile Kunene. Lungile Kunene is the one who plays drums on Dinetemba Uzobuya. We've had that one session together and I hope to play with him again in future.
Well, I bet he's listening. I bet he's listening, of course. Please come back. Yeah. Yeah, please come back. Of course, let's talk about Epetini, you know, as one of the compositions that, for me, it sounds familiar to the sporting fans as a starting of this conversation, you know, but the message isn't quite what is expected. And I think, you know, I want to quote an audience member, you know, during one of your performances who says, and I quote, grateful for your voice, writing and composition. Epetini is everything, you know, giving us permission to be sensual, sexual, and tap into the sacredness of it all, unquote. You know, and my angle here is to then ask, Nesh, why was it so important, or why is it so important for women in jazz today, you know, to tap into this narrative of sensuality? You know, I mean, we've had many conversations, and many who've also had this conversation often lead with, how do women survive this male-dominated world? But I don't think that's even a thing anymore. You know, maybe let's talk about what Nesh is saying that isn't being said. And the narrative of personal satisfaction is certainly an eyebrow raiser. You know, tell us more. Go jazzing, Nesh.
Hey, wow. Okay. Firstly, I just want to call out the person who said the quote. It's Nchani, who had attended a show that I did at Pindamzala, a really boutique, you know Pindamzala, a really boutique spot out in Brixton that I had had the privilege of being at. The story behind Epetini is from just the creative process of writing it. I mean, Masambe Nono is one of the biggest songs that we sing. And we sing it at soccer games, but we also sing it. I was at Sankofa, Tandiswa's launch show, and afterwards everyone was singing Masambe Nono. So I heard it all the time. And I don't know what was happening in that moment in particular, because I wrote the song in 2020, 2021. And I just found myself saying, okay, ndimuke unono, ndikuvile ka usithi masiyolale bedini. And very quickly, as I was writing the song, all of the songs that I grew up with listening to, there's a particular genre of very sexy songs in the Eastern Cape, sung by mostly women, older women, very explicit. Often when we think, or at least when I think of sexual music, I think of R&B rather than folk music. But that's actually where that comes from for me, this freedom of expression by these older women. And so, yeah, I just followed it. And clearly, because of this music that's already in me, it was very easy to then connect the dots to Masambe Nono and have the song pour out of me. And I do think it is important. On the song also, I must mention that I'm joined by a poet. Her name is Mthunzikazi Mbungwana, who writes erotica in isiXhosa poetry. She does a stunning job. And I think it's also important us exploring that in our languages. Not that we haven't been doing it for centuries, but I think we've also lost that because of the schools we attended and da-da-da-da and all of that. And so once it happened, I was like, okay, this is a pretty cool thing to exist out there in the world as a tribute to this genre of folk music.
But of course, Kofi FM, we are in conversation with vocalist, composer, and performer Nqesho Nqishi, and her project is called Apho Kungenje. Came out on the 4th of October, 2024, and she joins us this Sunday as we introduce her formally, you know, to the family. And of course, we've also been listening to some of these compositions of the new project exclusively here on the K-Jazz Show. let's talk about Nish, the scene now, you know, and where we can expect to see the project in motion. Any specific dates or venues you'd like to share?
Yes. So I will be doing a launch show at Chiesa di Bartolupi. At this point, I'm not able to share who I'll be playing with because it's still early days, but definitely 7th December at Chiesa di Bartolupi. It's a Saturday evening. The tickets are already available on Quicket. And so, yeah, we'd absolutely love the support. Then the lyric book, which accompanies the album, which just came out on Friday, is available at the Commune in Bromfontein, a bookstore there, as well as Soweto Book Cafe. I've been spending a lot of time reading music biographies and love the experience of reading music and listening to it as well at the same time. And so I hope people who are that way inclined also find value in the lyric book. But yeah, that's what I'll be doing in the next couple of weeks.
And I look forward to reading into the lyric book and, of course, exploring some of these essays because, of course, me, avid reading is my thing. And I'd love to engage with you, you know, at the official launch. I think the official performance is happening in December. As we wrap things up, you know, this Sunday, what do you want the world to know, you know, about Nglesh?
I think because the music took me as long as it did to bring out. I turned 42 this year. I first started singing in my 20s. And I think the main message for me is just pursuing that dream because there is a place for it. Because whatever it is that you have to say is valuable and worthy of being engaged and interacted with. So for me, it's less about what people take from the music, but just that grind of pushing until you have something in whatever space you are in, whether it's literature or any part in the arts, whatever it is. And just listen. We're all very distracted. Our attention is all over the place. If people lend me their ears, I'm super grateful.
Absolutely. I agree with you. You know, keep knocking until something moves. That's the sentiment there. You know, and thank you so much for being a part of this conversation. And we look forward to, you know, to coming around, you know, and seeing the music live on the bandstands, you know, and of course, for everyone who's listening right now and they want to keep up with you, please share your social media so we can keep up with the next date.
Okay. So I'm mostly active on Instagram at Nglesh Nongashi, as well as on X, also at Nglesh Nongashi. And as for the music, it's available on all digital platforms.
Of course, she is vocalist, composer, and songwriter. She is Nglesh Nongashi, and she was on The K-Jazz Show.